Welcome to Heavy Networking. This is the Packet Pushers talking to you about deep networking stuff. And today, SD-WAN and security and making a security fabric that includes your entire network. And we're talking to a sponsor today, Fortinet. And Greg, this is not quite the conversation I was anticipating.
No, one of the things that I think many people have, and I think to myself to a lesser extent, is that the fact that Fortinet is a full spectrum security company kind of crept up on me. And we started off talking about the SD-WAN functionality that they've got going on. But really what they're saying is the SD-WAN function is key to a lot of people, but don't forget they've got the security fabric, which is all these other solutions. They've got mail gateways, CASB for if you want to do DLP, data loss prevention, content scanning and user logging. They've got they've got SOC services. The whole capability really there to turn their SD-WAN into a really modern approach to how you get it done.
Well, plus wireless and switches as well. I mean, it was a full-on networking solution. And as you said, snuck up on you. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. Wait a minute, they have all of this? In addition to, it's like, oh, they're a firewall company. No, they're a lot more than that, and it's all a tightly integrated solution. Anyway, enough of Greg and I rambling. Our guest today is Stephen Watkins. So enjoy this conversation we have with our sponsor today, Fortinet. Director and Principal Security Architect Stephen Watkins has joined us today from our sponsor, Fortinet. Stephen, welcome to Heavy Networking. And I'm going to get to you with a question in just a second, but I just remembered, hey, we have recorded with Fortinet before. So if you're new to Fortinet as you're listening to this show and you want to know something about them as a security and an SD-WAN vendor, go back to Heavy Networking episode 487. Where we meet Fortinet and we talk about their secure SD-WAN solution. Today is going to be an advancement of that conversation. We're going to build on what we talked about in episode 487 with even more detail about how this solution works. So Stephen, back to you. And I want us to address something about Fortinet that's kind of a perception. You know, a lot of people think of you guys as security or a security solution first, but from talking to you lately, you guys have won bake-offs based purely on what your SD-WAN offering is and what the networking functionality is of your solution. So can you, let's not talk about security for a minute and talk about SD-WAN. What is it that's winning deals with people?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Fortinet is a recognized cybersecurity leader, of course. And so we're also a leader when it comes to secure SD-WAN. But, you know, we've also got a core SD-WAN functionality that does rival all the other pure play vendors out there. And so we do have customers, of course, who are out there deploying our secure SD-WAN. You know, we've got customers, deploying 1,200 sites here and there. We've got customers deploying 600 sites, 700 sites. But what's interesting is we also have customers who are deploying us because we are SD-WAN. They're not leveraging our capabilities when it comes to our security side. So the robust SD-WAN solution that delivers dynamic application steering at the WAN edge for all of our customers, you know, it's being leveraged only as an isolated kind of functionality from some of our customers. And so just a quick recap, I know we touched on this in the previous recording, but you know, we're not talking about, you know, glorified IPsec tunnel management or legacy WAN link load balancing or using BGP with BFD to move around traffic. We're talking about the table stakes functionality that is SD-WAN. So I think a lot of customers see us both as a real SD-WAN player, but our security certainly comes over top of that. Mm-hmm. But just highlighting the case where we do have a customer who does use that, multiple hubs throughout the globe, over, you know, 3,500 sites globally. And so being able to leverage our routing and advanced routing capabilities, whether that's branch to hub, branch to branch, or being able to really drive a lot of the application steering based on those SLAs maintaining the performance. I think that's why this particular customer chose us over a number of different competitors in our space because we did perform better than them in a very long sort of bake-off, if you will.
Now, you said that was 3,500 sites?
Yeah, over 3,500 sites. I think globally, okay, this particular customer has, roughly 4,000 sites.
I think there's a few aspects to that scalability, because what you're discussing there, I think, simplifies to Fortinet's got a highly scalable solution. 5,000 sites is, or more than 5,000 sites, is a very large SD-WAN network by today's standards. And I think it plays into some of the specific features about the Fortinet architecture that lets you scale.
Yeah, for sure. The routing intricacies, right? The multi-hub connectivity, branch-to-branch dynamic path requirements, even across regional hubs, and the deployment flexibility, you know, at scale. That's a huge reason for our success, not just in the SD-WAN space, but in the secure SD-WAN space as well. And so we do have customers. I know Nirav Shah, our PMM for SD-WAN, touched on some of our customers have 18,000 branches. Some of our customers have, you know, 4,000. So we are very scalable, and that is very attractive when it comes to large enterprise customers.
Yeah, that is a differentiator, in that there's a lot of SD-WAN solutions that's, they just cater to small offices, and they really don't have the scale to go that big. They can't deal with that. Either it's a tunnel management problem for them where they struggle, or it's a operational policy kind of a management problem where it's just very difficult for them to go that big. So that actually does, if you're listening to this and you're going, well, I don't care, it actually does matter. Scale is kind of a big deal.
Well, I think there's two sides to the scale too, Ethan. There's the scale in terms of number of sites, because a lot of SD-WAN products just can't scale to that many active tunnels. Because keep in mind, for each tunnel, you've got at least two states to hold, two overlay network connections, two IPsec tunnels to maintain. But you've also got a performance issue here as well. And this is a unique feature of Fortinet, is that you've got your own specific asset and you can deploy that where it makes sense to do so.
That's right. And that is, I mean, that's a huge advantage, right? Nobody else is building an SD-WAN ASIC. We've had it for a year now. It's in three of our platforms today, and it'll be, you know, growing in more of our platforms, and specifically our branch platforms. So I know Alex Amante, one of my colleagues, touched on what the SOC 4 is. But the SOC 4 is kind of an amalgamation of just a generic CPU, our network processor, and our content processors, which are those two ASICs, which really give us the advantage in accelerating traffic. And the SOC 4, that was delivered specifically to improve SD-WAN acceleration. And so when we talk about handing off application identification, we can do that first packet match, but we do it very quickly because we do hand off that to the ASIC processor, as well as all of the SSL interception inspection that Alex talked about last time. But deep packet inspection really comes into play, even in an SD-WAN world, trying to identify whether an operation might be an upload or a download or one application over another. So being able to really dive down at scale performance-wise, not just number of tunnels, but performance of the box, we can do of that because of that ASIC.
And that's unique. That's not something most of the other SD-WAN vendors, their edge appliances are software-centric, and there's value in that. Let's not overdo this, but that ability to just move packets through the box at very high speed is part of your scaling success.
Yeah, and there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? So, I mean, you know, leveraging partners and all this other stuff, that's definitely a successful way to get the job done. We just look at things a little bit differently. We're trying to, you know, change this concept of security-driven networking, where you don't have to have VNFs or third-party partners or service chaining, but you can do everything from one platform. And so when we look at the branches and we look at those capabilities, we want to be able to provide that comprehensive WAN edge appliance, and we do. Mm-hmm. And the reason we do is because, one, we deliver our own ASIC chips in the SOC 4 in those platforms, but two, we also write the code that's based to work with that hardware. So the software and hardware work together for that optimization, the full realization of it.
Stephen, I want to take you left for a second here. Let's take a left turn off the main road, because I'm looking at our show notes, and you've got a story in here of a customer who actually needed multicast. And we've got a few people in the audience who need multicast, and they poke at me now and again. Hey, Banks, does X solution do multicast? And usually my answer is, you know, they say no, because no one's asking them for multicast. And yet you have a multicast capability baked into these boxes.
We do. We have a lot of customers that come to us, whether they're doing video or voice multicasting, whatever their applications are. It's one of the differentiators. So when we do talk to a lot of customers who have a very hard requirement around multicast, we meet those requirements. You know, again, the FortiGate's been around for a very long time. It's not a 3, 4, 5 year old product. It's been around a long time, and let's not fool ourselves. SD-WAN, you know, under alternative headings, has been around for a long time as well. But this market has really consolidated these features together and made them work together in a more excellent way. So we still have all of those things from a networking perspective that we've done for a long time, and multicast is one of those. So I would encourage those listeners, if you do have multicast requirements, you know, reach out to your Fortinet reseller and really have them come in and show you how the FortiGate drives that multicast through the SD-WAN.
Another thing that stuck out to me is not just the relative rarity of multicast, but the fact that if you do have it, it means you've had a lot of other routing requests from your customers that you've satisfied that long ago and gotten to the point in the maturity curve where, yeah, now we're going to add multicast. So it really underscores what you were just saying, Stephen.
Yeah, and that just speaks to FortiOS. I mean, FortiOS is the platform that, you know, resides within the FortiGate, the actual appliances, whether they be virtual or physical appliances. But FortiOS is that 20 years long mature product that really drives all of these features and functionality. So, you know, it's a long maturity curve, and that's why we're able to satisfy so many requirements, even at the edge of small and large enterprises.
Now, one of the things that we noted, because we're talking about a particular customer story that you've got here, is that ability to do routing. Now, not all SD-WAN, I've heard different people say to me that the routing capabilities of the products mattered to some people more than others. Some people could work around it, and some people found the limitation here. I don't immediately think of Fortinet as a routing company. How would you make that claim? How would you say to people you've got the ability to handle complex routing deployments?
Yeah, I would follow up on what Alex said in the previous podcast. Really, we've been doing routing for a long time as well. You know, again, 20 years of maturity in the FortiOS product. And so we do BGP, we do OSPF. We are in some of the largest carriers in the world doing, you know, routing and firewalling. And so we have the maturity there, being able to integrate those existing features into the virtual WAN link that is SD-WAN. Is just a really small adjustment for us. Those things kind of come together nicely. So being able to provide on the overlay management with BGP, pushing packets around, whether those links are satisfying SLA and moving them, leveraging both the SD-WAN and the routing protocols to be able to take advantage of that dynamic piece of application steering, that's a huge advantage for us as well.
Yeah, that was really, you mentioned BGP, and that was kind of my next question, is what protocols are you supporting on the routing side of things? Is it OSPF and BGP? And if so, how much are you supporting? Because there's an awful lot of RFCs out there.
Yeah, that's a good question. We always, you know, I think from a number of features from a BGP perspective, we definitely support a huge number of those features. And so as we continue to mature, our support for SD-WAN and BGP, I think we're running into a lot of existing scenarios where our support for those features absolutely does meet those existing requirements. And where they don't, we're happy to pursue that with our customers to make sure that, hey, we will, you know, introduce a new feature support for something if it doesn't exist. But we're seeing that less and less because the features we are building into newer releases are satisfying just a huge bulk of those existing use cases out there. Oh,
plus so many of the new RFCs that are published are solving some fairly esoteric corner cases that their problems most people don't have. So it's not like you need to be running out, oh, they got a new RFC, let's bake that in today. I mean,
right, exactly. And I think we all, you know, in the vendor space play that game. When things come out, it's like you said, it's a corner case. And so, you know, being able to fulfill the vast majority of those use cases is probably everybody's target, but, you know, our product's been around so long, it already does. But like I said, where we find those gaps, we're more than willing to work with our customers to be able to satisfy their needs and use cases as well.
Now, of course, you guys are, in fact, a security platform as well. We've been emphasizing the networking stuff and the SD-WAN capabilities as kind of a lead in here. But naturally, all the security stuff is there and is what you guys are most known for, perhaps. So here's a question to kind of zoom in on that. If I want to go branch in a box and I want to use Fortinet as my platform, how far can I get with a Fortinet box positioned at the edge?
So again, the FortiGate with FortiOS is that comprehensive WAN edge appliance, right? And so whether it's physical, whether it's virtual, we look at its capability across the board, the advanced routing, you know, not just static routes or, you know, RIP or ISIS, but we OSPF, BGP, the routing protocols that are used throughout enterprise today, both in private, you know, WAN scenarios and public scenarios as well. But the capability not only to deliver the edge functionality, which is that advanced routing, the NGFW, all those advanced security features, in addition to SD-WAN, in addition to traffic shaping, in addition to some WAN optimization features, that's really just the beginning. And so when you look at the edge, you know, I talked with one customer, 7 different solutions at their edge from 5 different vendors. And so when we spoke with them, we were able to clarify that all of those vendor contracts, all of those solutions could be consolidated into one single HA FortiGate platform. And so being able to really have that comprehensive WAN edge appliance is a huge differentiator, because everything else is typically going to be VNF or third-party integration.
You guys are an Ethernet handoff, right? So, I mean, if I've got some kind of you know, a TDM circuit of some kind, I can't terminate that on my FortiGate. I'm going to get your terminology wrong. It's FortiNet, it's FortiGate, we have FortiOS. This is a FortiGate appliance?
That's right. The appliance is FortiGate, and yes, you're correct, right? We do we do accept the Ethernet handoff, and so there would have to be some sort of media converter device in there.
Yeah, that media device could even be like the WAN router you had, but it just doesn't do anything other than hand off, you know, Ethernet to TDM or whatever the circuit was. Yeah,
exactly.
One thing I like about FortiNet, just to take a diversion, is that everything starts with 40. You know exactly where it is.
Yeah, you know, if we have a new product coming out, you can already guess the name. So maybe we should have contests around that.
But, it's kind of cool in a way, because they don't have weird names like, you know, the Routinator 10,000 series.
Yeah. We're not hiding anything, right? So, you know, our marketing team is pretty static, right? So it's 40 something. It's just we don't know what yet.
I will say I would totally buy the Routinator 10,000, though. I really would.
We'll keep that in mind for sure.
Now, Stephen, if I have a whole bunch of Fortinet devices, you have a concept of a Fortinet security fabric, but it's not entirely clear to me what the security fabric is. Is it an idea where, oh, you have a bunch of these, so we're going to call it a fabric? Or are they stitched together in some way? Or are they managed together? What is the Fortinet security fabric?
Yeah, that's huge. So I mentioned that customer early on that chose us for an SD-WAN solution. Kind of didn't say everything. They chose us for an SD branch solution. And if you think about SD branch, it's really integrating the infrastructure with the edge. And so you have that edge to endpoint visibility, integration, automation capability. And so that's really what the fabric is. The fabric is to be able to integrate all those devices, not just the edge. The FortiGate on the edge can be like the root of the fabric, if you will. And so being able to tie together things like Wi-Fi controller, tie together your switch controllers, you know, be able to integrate and tie together the management of cellular technology, 4G, LTE, and 5G in the future, right? It doesn't necessarily kind of require only FortiGate or FortiNet devices, 40A, 40B, 40C, but we also leverage what we call our partner ecosystem to be able to offer APIs, or what we call fabric connectors, where we actually modify our own program code to be able to integrate with those third-party devices. And so you have this woven fabric across your infrastructure that communicate with one another. And so being able to communicate detection and response. And so you can automate some of those threads or some of those events to where there's an automated response and integration into your workflows already. So the fabric is not just a kind of a, you know, a branding idea. I think it's really a platform for us to be able to provide the most value to our customers by not only integrating with other Fortinet products, but also being integrated with the existing investments that they have.
Okay, hang on now, because now we've got to do some backing up and unpacking here. So you started to describe the security fabric and you said, Well, sure, all of your edge security devices, but also wireless controllers, and I think switches came up. So wait a minute, I'm thinking Fortinet makes firewalls, and you're actually telling me you make other parts of the networking stack too?
Yeah, that's what we hear a lot. Fortinet is a firewall company. We actually have, of our own products, over 20 of our own products are natively integrated into the fabric. And so when you look at the fabric, you see firewalls at the edge or our FortiGate devices at the edge. There's FortiMail, FortiSwitch, FortiAP, FortiNAC. And so you have all kinds of other solutions that are being integrated at the edge. So EDR, sandbox, authentication, and not just at the edge, but when you think about cloud integration, so CASB and cloud workload protection, those as well are all integrated into the fabric, and those are separate products here at Fortinet. So not only do we build other things besides firewalls, you know, we are a cybersecurity company, and so we have products that integrate with one another across a number of different domains within the cybersecurity realm.
So you're saying you actually have the CASB as part of your product. So I can take a single throat to choke or one hand to shake approach, if you like, to building out this SD-WAN solution, and you're going to give me the content scanning, the data loss prevention, and so forth? Or are you partnering for that?
Yeah, absolutely could. I mean, one of the most recent deals that we have that's a success story for us is, you know, being able to win over some other larger vendors that were partnering together to be able to provide a complete security solution for both on-premise and off-net. And so we went in there with our Fortinet solution, our fabric, if you will, being able to be led by the FortiGate, as well as some other infrastructure elements, including CASB. And, you know, the customer really saw the value there and being able to control on-premise or off-net in exactly the same manner, get the same sort of policy applied to both of those scenarios, and then be able to wrap on top of that all of the benefits of the CASB.
And then you've also got the full suite too. So not just the CASB where you send the data off to be scanned before it goes off to, you know, wherever, so you can track that users aren't doing bad things and they're not subject to malware, but you've also got email gateways and things like that, the remainder of the security portfolio. You've got the whole thing.
Yeah, we really do. And like I said, you know, I could go through the list of 20 devices or 20 products natively integrated. But certainly web. When you talk about web app security, you talk about application delivery control, so that load balancer, if you will. You know, and again, like you said, you know, mail, being able to integrate all those features and have that kind of single pane of glass approach and being able to make those things work together to reduce the workload, right? We all know that the networking side, the security side, continue to be hit with not enough skill set. And so the right people aren't being there to be able to do this. Staffs are short. And so one of the things of the fabric is to really address that issue. How can we help our customers, you know, lighten their load?
Somebody called it in a chat window the other day. They said, oh yeah, all the 40 things.
Yeah.
They've got the, you know, the 40 mail and the 40.
Right, exactly. The 40 things, right?
The 40 things. The FORTI-things. Yeah. It was kind of funny. And he was saying like that ability to have one of everything is kind of, and this is, I sort of bring that out because this idea of a security fabric is what we're talking about here. And I think most people might still realize that you're a firewall company, but don't realize that you've actually broadened out the product into the software space. And if you haven't sort of understood, I didn't fully understand it until we started digging in for this show, just how wide the fabric went, in the sense, or the security portfolio went.
Yeah, I think our tagline is broad, integrated, automated, right? And it's the broad visibility. I mean, you can't make a decision without having the visibility. And, you know, being able to make a decision doesn't mean anything happens. And so you need that kind of visibility to see what's going on in order to inform those decisions. You need the integration to be able to communicate with the right infrastructure elements. And then thirdly, you need that automation to be able to drive those changes without human interaction. And I get it. We're not in the world to try to automate everything, because we all know that there's false positives. But those repetitive tasks, those critical tasks where if something does pop up hot, you don't want to wait. You want to be able to isolate something from the rest of the network to prevent a further infection or a further
And it's also the challenge of a diverse supplier base. So if you buy I'm a fan of actually multi-vendor for lots of different things, but I also recognize that for some people, there's also a challenge about having multiple vendors for whatever reason. And that ability to come back to, you know, one supplier for my SIEM, for my deception, for security analysis, for SOC services, for email scanning, you know, content scanning as people break out to the internet, as well as, you know, SD-WAN is kind of a key thing, because the SD-WAN is really the first step down that path. And when you start using the internet as your default, so when you stop using private networks and everything's connected to the internet, that whole content engine, that whole security phase is actually key. And I'm not so sure that everybody's quite realized that or put that logic together.
Yeah, and I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I think there's been a huge shift over the past, I don't know, about probably 11, 12 months now, when we're seeing more and more customers realizing secure SD-WAN is really the requirement, especially as you're going, you know, direct internet access or local breakout. Prior to that, there was a lot of SD-WAN adoption. I see a lot of those customers coming back asking us if we can service chain or, you know, add a VNF to other solutions. But essentially, you're right. I think there's this realization, hey, we need to be able to take this distributed approach versus the centralized security stack that we had when we had this private WAN. Yeah. And distribute those security functionality across our enterprise at each edge instead of just at the data center or private cloud.
I'm not a huge fan of that VNF approach. A lot of people want to put the VNF and run their favorite brand of thing, security toy, on the branch network. And there is a use case for that for certain organizations. But I think generally you're probably better going with moving some of it into the cloud, doing some of it on premise, and then having some sort of tight integration between the two. Not the VNFs are not a solution for everybody, but that they are a niche solution, not the default solution in my perspective, because it's just too hard to manage all of those things unless you've got a good sized infrastructure and really, really good automation skills.
Well, too hard to manage. That's the thing that's been going through my head as we've reviewed a bunch of those solutions, Greg, is I know why people do it, but there is a complexity trade-off that when you go that third-party VNF route. Mm-hmm. Stephen, actually back to you related to this. You had mentioned in the Fortinet Security Fabric that there's integration with third-party services. We talked about that a bit. How does that work? Is that, hey, there's an API, plug into us, it'll be great? Or do you actually like partner up with certain other folks and provide your customer with a fully integrated solution?
So it's actually both. So the first piece is what we call our Fabric Ready partners. And Fabric Ready partners just really tie into the API and the FortiX products, right? And so for FortiGate, FortiManager, that could be, you know, a RESTful API, it could be XML or other types of APIs as well. But ultimately, those fabric-ready partners tie into us through API. And then there's what we call fabric connectors. Fabric connectors are where we actually write the code to integrate into the product. And so in the UI, you will see those as what we call fabric connectors. And so you'll be able to click, 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 enter a few variables, and then have connectivity or integration with that particular third-party capability. Mm.
But if I have something fancy and exotic I want to do, I could do those things too.
Yeah, for sure, right? It's a full open API. So, if you've got a DevOps team, we have a great DevOps team. And so we've got people that are writing things for our customers all the time. Our professional services team can engage to be able to customize things. So yeah, if it's published in the API, you have full access to it. You can do whatever you want. So if you think about the service provider space and, you know, they already have their multi-tenancy kind of orchestration. And so they want to be able to tie into our products through that API. And so they're able to do that very easily, leveraging their own orchestration. But completing all those kind of features or not features, but those integrations with the FortiGate and FortiManager as well. Mm.
Now you said API, and then you said the magic word open API, not as in open source, but as in it's documented, it's clear. If I want to write code against it, it's all there for me.
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I also, in my digging around, found like I'm a Python guy. There is PyFortiGate API, which is a library there that makes it easier for me to consume Fortinet APIs. Is that what that's for, I assume?
Yeah, that we also have our Fortinet Developer Network, FNDN, and then we also have a GitHub repository. And so you'll be able to find API scripts out in each of those kind of repositories for our customers, our partners to share with our global community.
Okay, so that was my next question. If you guys were supporting all of that internally, so is like the Pi40 API library, that's something that Fortinet is keeping up with, or is that something someone in the community created?
I think that's more of a community kind of thing, and certainly we keep up with those things. But from an ownership publishing perspective, the FNDN is certainly going to be ours, as well as our own Fortinet GitHub.
Got it. And then how do you support automators? You gave that scenario of, oh, there's a big shop. They've already got a big orchestration platform. They're adding Fortinet products to the environment, and they just need to be able to consume that API to integrate with their existing platform. How do you support people like that if they call in and need some assistance?
Sure. I think the support line's open to be able to call in and say, you know, hey, this API is not, you know, responding the way it's supposed to respond, and being able to track that and to help customers through those scenarios. But again, we certainly have our, you know, Forta professional services, if you will, to be able to help customize any sort of integration with a particular product through our APIs as well.
Do you really call it Forta professional services? Is that a thing?
No, we don't. That just came out. That was, we call everything else 40 something. So, you know, but no, we don't call it 40 professional services.
That's what I heard there. I heard him say 40, yeah. And I could sit there and hear his brain trying to catch up and go, what's the second half?
It's 40 something, right?
No. 40 things, 40 things, call. All 40 the 40 things.
There we go. Yeah. Oh my. Do you happen to have a customer story about automated workflows? I like hearing these because it is increasingly helping people that are new to this understand what's possible and maybe how they should tackle automation for their environment. So if you happen to have any automation related stories that you can tell, I'd love to hear it, Stephen.
Yeah, I think one scenario that we hear from a lot of customers is being able to leverage, you know, integration with a NAC or, you know, even just an endpoint that's identifying some sort of indicator of compromise, being able to communicate that back up to the FortiGate, and you know, launching some sort of event handler for the FortiGate to be able to communicate down to a NAC or FortiNAC in this case, and FortiNAC kind of move that particular host into something like a quarantine VLAN.
So back up a second. So the idea was there. Something identified bad behavior on the part of this endpoint, made a call out to the Fortinet API and said, this is what I'm seeing, and, you know, communicated that information and metadata. And then that drove a policy change that meant the Fortinet security fabric could quarantine this endpoint.
That's correct. It could quarantine an endpoint. It could create some new security policy to block a particular, destination. In this case, you know, being able to quarantine, but, you know, further being able to communicate with something like a ServiceNow workflow platform to open, you know, a response ticket. And so, hey, there's this host that we've quarantined, and now there's some action that needs to be taken maybe to remediate. But that's a really good scenario that we hear a lot of customers talking about, is being able to really automate those, you know, kind of low-hanging fruit tasks, if you will, to be able to really help their teams, you know, gain back some of that time. And so being able to really focus on the remediation of those hosts versus all the identification, the changes to the switches or, you know, the VLANs, and then, of course, you know, opening a ticket. If we can automate that and make it easier for our customers, you know, we're winning there.
But I love changing VLANs, Stephen. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Stephen, we got all excited when we started talking about automation, but then it occurs to me we were talking about the security fabric and the management and all that, and then got into all the integrations and everything, but we never really talked about like the core. I'm assuming there's like a policy manager there, something that I interface with as a network engineer and configure policy that gets pushed out to edge device and wherever else. Can you fill out what the blank is in my brain?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, from a branch perspective, right, that's called SD branch. When we begin integrating those infrastructure like Wi-Fi and switches, and so being able to really kind of manage those, the FortiGate is itself a Wi-Fi controller and a switch controller, as well as being able to manage the, you know, the LTE devices. But when you think about, hey, I have 4,000 sites, I have 1,200 sites, I have 2,200 sites, you know, managing 2,200 individual FortiGates is not a solution. And so we have FortiManager, which, you know, I know Alex pointed out in the previous podcast, can manage up to 100,000 devices. So being able to really leverage FortiManager, not only to manage each FortiGate at all of your branches, but being able to manage those switches and APs and all of the security policy that's wrapped around those as well. So drawing those into security policy and managing those cellular devices. So one single pane of glass to be able to manage all of those centrally.
Okay. So the manager tool is the one tool that I'm using to build policy. And that policy means I'm getting consistent policy delivery across device types. In other words, it's not one thing for the wireless network, and it's not a different thing for the switches. It's not yet another thing for the firewalls. It's this one umbrella manager that delivers policy consistency across devices.
Exactly. You don't have to go build a whole separate NOC SOC to be able to accommodate the fabric or SD branch in this case. A single FortiManager, which does support NHA deployment or even, you know, regional deployments, can centrally manage all of those FortiGates, all those FortiSwitches, all those FortiAPs, the FortiExtender, and the security policy templates that will be pushed down to those FortiGates, which will push down configuration to all those other devices. And so everything from one single UI.
So when do I actually log into individual devices, or do I?
So in the SD-WAN space, most of our competitors would say they have some sort of controller, whether it's a cloud controller or whatever. The good news with Fortinet is we have a controllerless architecture. And so we really don't require the central management. Central management is there to be able to make it a more easy deployment, provisioning, and continuous monitoring and management environment. But let's say that you only have one single FortiManager and it totally dies. It's going to take a day to get it replaced from a hardware perspective. All of your edges work autonomously. So control plane and data plane, and in this case, management plane, all reside equally at each of those edges. So you could, if you had to make a policy change, log into a single device, make that change on those devices while that manager is down.
Okay, something I got to qualify there. You said I could log into an edge device and it would just be my new interface to be managing the fabric. That is, a change I make on a device could actually be a policy change that's reflected across the fabric, not just device specific, locally significant.
Right. So if you did make a change to an individual branch FortiGate, those policies would be effective for all of those devices at that branch only.
Okay. So I am in that locally significant mode for a bit.
Correct.
And would jump in there if I needed to, but it sounds like my normal course of operations as a network operator is I'm dealing with the fabric manager. That is my primary interface to manage this system, not one device and another device and another device. And
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The FortiManager is going to be, you know, if you have a large environment, you're going to have high availability. So if one FortiManager goes down, you have another one that comes up and is managing the whole environment. So, you know, that scenario would probably never play out in large environments. But, you know, for those with 1, 2, 3 sites, maybe you don't need a FortiManager. But when you're talking about, you know, Fortinet's security fabric or SD branch in this case, you definitely want to have the FortiManager, because not only can you manage those FortiGates, but you also manage those switches and APs or those FortiExtenders, which is that LTE device I spoke about earlier.
No, and unless it was some astronomical price or something, I would always want to start out there, because it means you establish an operational practice from the beginning that scales with you, you know, indefinitely. You know, that is, even if you only have a few sites and a few devices you're managing initially, don't cheap out without the manager and manage them individually just because you can. Because what happens when you go through an acquisition and now you've got 8 more sites, and then, you know, there's an expansion and now you've got, you know, 15 more devices that just happened there, and all of a sudden you like have to add the manager, and now you got to retool and rethink all the operational processes you've established. Just establish it from the beginning with the manager and then let the system grow with you without you having to really change anything.
Most definitely. And I think we see that in some of our deployments. You know, I spoke about a customer earlier with 1,200 sites. Being able to roll out 1,200 sites in 9 months is a huge achievement. I mean, I think that speaks to the ease of use. Once you get everything correct and pushed out from a proof of concept and then maybe a pilot perspective, being able to then take off the ground running 50 sites a week, that's a huge benefit that our customers can gain from using FortiManager for provisioning and deployment.
Well, Stephen, this has been a great discussion and a mind-expanding one for me. I'm guilty, like I think a lot of people, putting you guys in the firewall bucket and not really thinking about it, even though I've talked to you guys before, and at this point I should know better. So this has been a very enlightening discussion. The fact that you guys have several different products that all work together, strong networking capabilities, strong SD-WAN capabilities, wireless, and all the rest, in addition to the security that you are most known for, is kind of retooled my brain about Fortinet and how I think about you guys. So one, if you're listening here, I want to remind you that Heavy Networking episode 487, if you want to hear even more about Fortinet, we talk with them in that episode. One more time, that's episode 487. And then Stephen, where would you drive people to if they want to know more about, say, secure SD-WAN?
Yeah, I mean, the Fortinet website is going to provide a lot of information there under our products, secure SD-WAN. They'll be able to find a lot of information there. And I would also encourage everyone, you know, being able to reach out to those trusted partners that they have already, or to Fortinet sales directly, to be able to really kind of get a better experience hearing about our solutions and even maybe trying them out. We always encourage our customers and potential customers to just, hey, give us a call. We'll help you try it out and see the benefits of the actual FortiGate and the secure SD branch solutions.
Very good. Stephen Watkins, thank you very much for joining us today. And we thank Fortinet for sponsoring the Packet Pushers, because honestly, without our sponsors, we can't do what we do here. The whole idea is to provide you listening with information that you can do something with, professional career development. So if you do call up Fortinet because you heard this show, hey, would you let them know that you heard about them on Packet Pushers? We would really appreciate that. And packetpushers.net, that is your home for all of our podcasts, our newsletter, our community blog, and more. You can join us on Slack, by the way, packetpushers.net/Slack. You can follow us on Twitter @packetpushers. We're on LinkedIn. We'd appreciate it if you'd like us on Facebook and rate us on Apple Podcasts. And then last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.